5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Welcome you in to another episode of your favorite boxing podcast. This is Inside Boxing Live. I am Dan Canobio. He is the former world champion, Chris Algieri, in today's episode 301. We start our march to 400 episodes. Chris, how are you, my friend? We're getting ready for another fight weekend as we are in the middle of fight season.
I'm doing excellent. I'm over here in Pro Box. So listen, We were in Vegas last week. Canelo Alvarez, Munguia Saturday night. Awesome fight. Inside Boxing Live Cup. I don't even have one of those. We are working on some merch, so stay tuned. I know a lot of you have been asking. And then we had, obviously, Inoue fought on Monday morning, stateside. Awesome. Awesome fight. Incredible performance. Got dropped the first time. And then now I'm here in Plant City, getting ready for Pro Box TV tonight. So you have boxing nonstop, guys. There's
you ever get tired of the sport?
Never, literally never. I get physically tired. I get tired. Listen to this travel plan. So we were in Vegas, right, over last week,
correct?
For media, and then I took a red eye Friday night.
I don't know how you do those.
Yeah, they're rough. So I could be home in studio to watch the Canelo fight, working for PBV, typing away
right
for 4 hours straight from 8 to the main event, and then did a live after for Pro Box TV for 2 hours. So my night ends at 2. So multiple broken nights in a row after coming off a Vegas trip. I can't believe I'm still like coherent at this point. I actually feel pretty good.
Yeah, you look good. You sound good. I feel like a human being, too. I didn't have that crazy travel. I got home at like 6:30, ordered food, was right in the chat for the 8 p.m. start. Caught a little bit of the
What kind of food did you order, Dan?
I got some Greek.
We're on shred season. It's boxing season. It's shred season, bro.
I have one spot that I've been ordering from the last like month. The guy knows me. The delivery guy's just gonna come in and hang out with me. It's chicken kebab, grilled chicken, rice. I got a Greek salad on the side.
Look at this guy,
bro! It's
look
so
at this
good.
Guy.
Protein
You're dating your Uber driver. That's cool.
And he's gotta feel like, dude, are you okay? Like, this is like order number 30 of the month. I'm like, no, I'm not okay.
I'm not okay.
I don't feel like ordering food. I'm making food. So if we're in the middle of
we need a HelloFresh sponsorship, so you don't have to keep doing this.
Listen, we're gonna get a lot of sponsorships soon. We're in the middle of fight season. There's a lot to talk about on this episode. We're going to break down Vasily Lomachenko and George Kamposos. That's the premier fight this weekend. It's going down on ESPN. We have our mailbag. We have so many questions that I whittled down to some of the best ones. But we also have some housekeeping notes, some headlines that we didn't get to on last episode that are out there right now. Jermall Charlo. This is kind of messed up. It's kind of sad, but it's not really that surprising. Jermall Charlo arrested for DWI in Texas, caused an accident, then fled the police. WBC finally strips him. They elevate Carlos Adames on his birthday. So now Adames is the full-time champ. Charlo continues to be a fallen star. He was rumored to fight Canelo Alvarez in September, or at least he was in the running. That seems like a long shot. At this point, it should never have been a consideration at all. This is a twofold story. It's Jermall Charlo just going down spiraling, and it's Carlos Adames being elevated in a division that we have not cared about in quite a while, which is middleweight.
I like Carlos Adames, though.
Yes.
Very hungry fighter. And when I met him, he was extremely hungry because he's still trying to make 147. I remember I was in Colombia, and you know, obviously people know about my nutrition accolades, and his coaches brought me in. They're like, hey, what can you do with this? Like he's 5 pounds overweight or whatever. And like, he's been cutting for a while, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, yeah, no, he's not making weight. So they did a catch weight eventually, and he ended up fighting and winning whatever. But I also called his loss to Teixeira
right.
for top rank. I was very surprised at that at 154, but now he's campaigning at 160. The win over Derevchenko was very, very impressive because Derevchenko is super tough, especially at middleweight. So, you know, he's world class and he's a beast. He's a workhorse. Him being champion, I hate champions getting elevated and not having to have to win them in the ring, especially not beating a champion. But
yeah, but
I'm not super mad about it.
160 is such a mess that like he had to be elevated here. He should have been elevated a year ago. Like right. This is more about Charlo and the WBC just playing favorites like they usually do, playing favorites with Canelo, playing favorites with Lomachenko with that ridiculous franchise belt. And playing favorites with Charlo, who hasn't defended his title since 2021.
Crazy.
And even like his last fight, where he finally came back in his last fight, which was what? And was that November on the Benavidez card? And it wasn't even at 160. It was at 164, and he looked okay.
Fighting a blown up welterweight, basically.
Right. He's fighting Benavidez's brother, Jose Benavidez. This is a long.
He looked good. He looked good, but
right. His timing was good. His blah blah blah. Like you know, he was fine. Like he probably could have competed at 160, but even if it was at 164, he was probably had his eyes on 168. Like I don't know if Adames will stay at 160 because the only fight there is a unification with Janibek, which doesn't really indicate a lot of money. Doesn't indicate a lot of status. I can see Adames going to 168. Like 168 is the position now to be in if you're around that weight, especially with Benavidez leaving. Going up to 175. There's not many options for Canelo out there. I mean, there's only X amount of fighters, and it looks like Canelo wants to take on those types of challengers, not Benavidez, maybe Berlanga, maybe Adames. So I'm interested to see what Adames does. Happy for him because he seems like a nice guy. But really, it's just kind of sad for Charlo. I mean, the guy's got serious problems, got serious demons, mental problems, drinking problems. Both Charlos are in trouble. Like, these guys were on top for such a long time, and they were such a big force in the PBC, such a big force in boxing. And, man, just one bad story after the next, mostly Jermall. Jermall's getting into some issues of his own. I understand this happens. This is part of, you know, being a professional athlete, unfortunately, before being a boxer. More money, more problems. But, damn, these guys have fallen on some hard times, and I hate to see those types of headlines.
Yeah, I mean it's tough. We're under the microscope. We're in the public eye. There's big gaps between fights. There's a lot of time to get yourselves in trouble. Most fighters, all of us have something loose in our brain that we actually step into a ring and fight men for money. And a lot of times that bleeds into your daily life. And plus you're in the spotlight, man. It's super difficult. I'm not a guy who likes to talk about mental health, but the pressures of being a fighter at a world-class level, very, very difficult.
Dude, the biggest thing like about boxing that's interesting to me when it comes to mental health is like the fact that like you guys don't have like a real – you're not part of a team. It's an individual sport. No. You have your crew. You have your trainer, your strength conditioning coach and all that. You have so much free time. And with Charlo's, I'm not saying they're overpaid, but those guys are living large. You follow them on Instagram, they have been – paid handsomely for going on a decade now. All the money in the world that you got, all the free time in the world, and you don't have like an organization. Like, you know, you're not part of the Yankees. Yeah, you know, you're not like have someone breathing down your neck, keeping you on the straight and narrow. So things are going to happen.
And it kind of reminds me of you. Like, you got all this free time now. You know, you're getting success, but you have a team. You have me, who's like, hey, dude, you got to eat right. You got to work out. You can't be just languishing your days away, going out boozing and hanging out with chicks. You know, now like we're reeling you in. Success was you know, getting to a fever pitch. So now we're good.
I got the best team. I got Chris Algieri. I got Bob Canobio. I got Nick Canobio. I got the family. I got some really
good Mitch,
friends.
Man. Mitch is our fucking badass. You know,
road dog,
tech guy. Who answers all those questions that us old heads don't know how to do.
Yeah, Mitch is the man. Yeah, we got a good team at IBL. But yeah, like just sucks about the Charlos. WBC finally does the right thing, but it takes them 5 years to do it. What happens with the middleweight is your guess is as good as mine. Next piece of housekeeping. New York State Athletic Commission Director Kim Sumbler steps down. This is with the Ryan Garcia decision looming. She says it was in the works for a long time, wants to spend more time with her family. I'm going to be honest, never even seen Kim. Usually I know all the heads of the athletic commissions just being around the fights, and you know the big ones. You know Bob Bennett for a while in Vegas. You know the guy out in L.A. whose name eludes me, which does not help my case in saying I know all the directors. But he or she steps down. Curious timing. Garcia's B sample is currently being tested. There was a lot of criticism about how the entire situation was handled with Ryan Garcia, with his behavior, coming in 3 pounds overweight, failed drug tests. I don't think they were ever going to stop the fight. I don't know why there would be so much criticism on her end in terms of letting that fight go on. It's a huge fight. It was a big money fight. It was a financial windfall for New York and the state, which is the most important thing. But Kim Sumbler steps down. Do you ever have any run-ins with Kim, or do you ever have any run-ins with the New York State Athletic Commission hierarchy?
Never heard her name before. I have many, many run-ins with the Athletic Commission, especially during my fight career. But, I mean, they
who was the president, like, for you?
Malvina Lathan.
Yeah.
She was the queen boss for a long time. I love dealing with her. I still like her, but I don't know. From my experience, it was a lot of switching sides, very much like political campaigns where you got somebody who is working for the commission. Next thing they work for a promoter, and then they come back and they work for the commission. It's a lot of blurring of the lines, right? And ethics, like politics, ethics is not a big part of it. Boxing is very similar in that way.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. There's a lot of conspiracy theories being thrown around. Ryan Garcia is the leader of them. He's pulling a Donald Trump by just throwing out so much information, throwing out so much misinformation.
I want to shut one down right here. This whole, oh, if I failed before, why didn't they stop the fight? Guys, there's not a lab in the Barclays Center. Your piss test prior to the fight, the one in which Ryan failed prior to the fight, is about 3 hours before you step in the ring. Mm-hmm. That urinalysis needs to go to a highly expensive, high-powered lab and run through crazy tests. It takes days, if not a week, for that to come out. So everyone's saying like, oh, well, he failed before. Why the fight happened? Because we didn't have the results yet, guys. This is like insanity for me, for people who are saying this. And people are running with this idea. It's like, oh, it's a conspiracy. It's like they tested him before. He failed before. How'd they have them let him fight? It's 3 hours before. It's not a litmus test where you literally put a piece of paper and go, oh, yep, he popped. No. Dude. We're looking at designer drugs that are in a system that need to be found out by molecules and isotopes that take massive amounts of scientific maneuvers to pull out. So stop with this nonsense, this fake misinformation. Stop with it. People are running with it. It's driving me nuts.
It just shows you that the drug testing, the PEDs, some people know, most people don't. It's like a murky area for fans. They don't.
Regardless, drug testing in our sport sucks. Drug testing in our sport sucks.
Right. It's why fighters, I'm not going to name names, it's why some fighters, they get behind their high-powered promoters, and the promoters put on their politic hats, and they muddy the waters, they muddy the message, they legalese, they stretch it out for months, years on end. They throw out misinformation, which Ryan Garcia is doing right now. It turns into politics, and some fans just don't want to be bothered with it. I can't blame them. They just want to watch the fights, and they just want to follow along. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and that's why you can come to our show and figure it all out. Like in our mailbag later, there's a few questions about Ryan Garcia's B sample. But yeah, with this director stepping down, it's interesting. Who knows? Maybe they forced her to step down. Maybe they didn't like how the Garcia thing was handled. This is a very, very strict athletic commission.
Maybe she just didn't want to deal with the pressure of all this. That happens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was listening to someone talk about, like, she doesn't even live in New York. She lives in Canada. Big time MMA fan. Not really a boxing fan. That's fine.
Doesn't even
but
live
like,
in New York. What are we doing? Why do we have government officials, state officials that are living in other countries?
Buffalo, but lives in Canada. Don't quote me on that. Kim Sumbler. I literally heard of her name
for the
yesterday.
First time.
Yesterday. Yeah. Whatever. So we'll have a new athletic commissioner. It doesn't really affect fans that much. Lastly, Shakur Stevenson. We talked about this on previous shows. Officially back. Top Rank announces July 6th, Newark, New Jersey. 4th of July weekend. Artem Hartunian, who is famous for going the distance with Frank Martin in a very tough fight, come forward type of fighter. Shakur's last fight of his top rank deal. He's tweeting yesterday about, man, if I sign with PBC, does this mean that I'm going to fight Gervonta Davis in like the seventh fight of the deal? Are they going to like play along with me? I don't know what I want to do.
It's a really good card, Chris. Oshaki Foster versus Robson Kinsaysau. Keyshawn Davis versus, who's he fighting? Madueno.
Yep, Madueno. We've had him on our air on Pro Box TV. He's tough. He can punch. He can fight. He had a big win his last fight on our air. Man, it was only a couple weeks, maybe months ago. I don't know. These fights.
Big, another Pro Box guy that's moving up to fight on a big card?
Yep. That's
Dude,
right.
That's awesome.
Directly from Pro Box TV to a big fight on Top Rank. So
ecosystem.
That's right. Keeping it alive, bud. Keeping it alive.
That's the grassroots of boxing that we got away from during COVID. It wasn't any more club shows, but club shows are slowly coming back. They're all over the zone. Dimitri Salida has one. They just added Al Bernstein, who I love, to the commentating booth.
Our guy, Corey Erdman.
Erdman, Bernstein, and Raul Marquez. That's a great team.
That's awesome team, man. I love that. That's exciting. Yeah. I've never worked with Raul. I really want to.
He's awesome.
He's so great. I know. I've talked to him a million times. Great,
cool
great
guy to hang out with on the road. Great guy to drink with. He has some amazing stories.
I can't even imagine.
He was roommates with De La Hoya in the 92 Olympics. And, man, you get that guy going, he'll tell you things that you don't even want to know.
Yes.
I'll just leave that
true.
There.
That's true.
I don't know where I was going with that. Shakur Artem Hartanian. Let's hope Artanian comes forward. Let's hope Shakur looks good for the sake of boxing, for the sake of that guy's mental health. Talk about mental health, man. That dude needs to step away from Twitter, and he needed to do it like a month ago. He's always like, I'm going to stop tweeting, and then he writes a freaking paragraph. He's responding to a guy with 12 followers. He's letting you know his every inner thought. But it's interesting because Gervonta Davis did his press conference in Vegas, which we missed because we flew home, but it was freaking looked like it was a grand old time.
Looked awesome.
Yeah, Gervonta is awesome. I freaking love that guy.
Yeah.
He is just so real and so authentic.
We've loved him on this show for a lot of things. We've been giving him a lot of love over the years.
Right.
Because he's so exciting and he gets knockouts.
You know what it is about Gervonta that's crazy? Is it's like Mitch was asking me, who's not a big box. He's like, yo, what makes everyone love Tank? I was like, well, he walks the walk, he talks the talk. He's just real. Like when he came up onto that stage and he went face to face with Martin, and just his whole demeanor and his antics, he was on one, but it wasn't like premeditated like Ryan Garcia. It wasn't like he didn't think out his lines like Devin Haney does sometimes. He's just authentic. He's just real. And I think his fans gravitate towards that, and he knocks you the fuck out.
Well, so that was going to say, like, the authenticity comes out when it's just like his only argument is like, all right, yeah, whatever. I'm going to knock you out. Like, I'm coming to fuck you up. That's the mentality that he has. And I think fight fans appreciate that.
Yeah, that presser was sick. And I'm really looking forward to June 15th in Las Vegas with Benavidez on the card, too. And those two guys taking pictures together and being like, yo, I always wanted to fight on one of your cards. Just badass freaking combination of guys. Benavidez and Tank. Two different walks of life.
Yeah, yeah. Benavidez is a big fight fan, though. How about the pictures of Tank and Canelo?
Yeah. Like,
the respect. It's awesome.
Gervonta. Oh, well, he's told me a few times. I've asked, like, who are your favorite fighters to watch? And Canelo goes Gervonta number one.
Really?
Yeah, always. Because they literally fight the same. It's that low output. It's high accuracy. For Gervonta, he's knocking fools out. Canelo's dropping, guys. But yeah, they like each other, and like, you know, Canelo, I could see becoming a promoter one day, a la Oscar, knows
if the PGA Tour doesn't want him.
He doesn't want him. He doesn't want to ride horses, do whatever the hell he does. I like this card though. Shakur's back, but what I was getting at is Gervonta he's doing the media rounds, says, I just signed a new 6-7 fight deal. Whoa. I guess it's with PBC. And in it, I'm done at the end of it. And he mentioned some names that are in it. And Shakur Stevenson was one of the names. And Shakur got wind of it, was like, oh, I'm a free agent. So do I do a two-fight deal with Top Rank? Do I do a two-fight deal with PBC? So that's an interesting aspect of this fight. I know there's a lot of people down on Shakur. I get it. A lot of his things are self-inflicted, not to mention that he just hasn't been in an exciting fight. So I really think Shakur needs a exciting fight, needs a – I'm not going to say needs a finish, but needs to do something. It's almost like in baseball or other sports where you're in a walk year, they call it. That's right before you're about to be a free agent. Like Aaron Judge put up the best walk year in the history of baseball when he hit 63 home runs, and then he became a free agent, gets a $360 million deal with the Yankees. Shakur needs to put up a home run on July 6th, and then he's going to get a nice deal anyway because there's just not that many stars in the sport, and he's a brand name at this point. I'm interested to see where he goes, but just see how the fight goes. How do you think the fight goes, and then where do you think he signs with?
Well, I think this is a perfect opponent. With Artem, he's going to come forward. He's going to fight. Obviously, if he brings the style that he brought in the Frank Martin fight, that's perfect. That's what Shakur needs. He needs you to come at him. You know, when you get another counterpuncher in there with him, a la De Los Santos, you're going to get a very slow-paced, boring fight. Listen, he's going to completely disarm you because you're not going to counter the counterpuncher because Shakur's ability to judge distance and control the ring and be a ring general is second to none. So if you're going to try and counter him, you're going to be a lot of staring at each other. Artem's not that kind of guy. He's a puncher. He's physically strong. He's going to his only chance to win the fight and to be competitive is to be aggressive and physical and use his physical strength. Mm. So that plays right into the hands of Shakur Stevenson. Guys who fight like that tend to make Shakur look great. So if that's the fight we're looking at, then yeah, I think this is a perfect opponent. There's a reason he was picked. He just has to show up and try and win.
Yeah, and as for where he signs next, you know, your guess is as good as mine. It'd be cool to see him go to the PBC, top rank.
Only because of the Gervonta fight.
That's the fight. I mean, they could build towards that. It doesn't have to happen next. I mean, but that's the one I was asking for after Gervonta knocked out Ryan Garcia, and Shakur's stock was way higher last year at this time. I was like, come on, that's the fight. It's the best power puncher. The best knockout rate in Gervonta versus the best defensive fighter in Shakur.
Here comes CompuBox Dan. CompuBox Dan with the numbers.
Yeah, Merrill.
Like, Dan's got the numbers.
It's my favorite stat about Gervonta Davis. He throws the least amount of punches of any active champion, but he has the highest knockout
percentage.
It's that. I mean, that right there.
Don't be hit.
You know what's funny is that when we were doing our previews at John Boy last year in the studio, remember? And our socials weren't what they are now. Like, we weren't built up. And I clipped out that stat. And that was the first clip on social media for us that hit 1 million views. And it kind of like took off from there. So that stat means a lot to me. Okay. I'm going to frame that stat and put it on my wall.
Well, it kind of tells us that he's literally the hardest puncher in the sport, if you think about it.
Yeah,
he lands the least amount of punches. Punch for punch, he is the number one puncher in the sport.
Crazy.
It's pretty cool. It's a cool stat.
It's also like a stat where like he can get himself in trouble. There's a lot of ways to interpret that. That's what I like to do. Like,
yeah.
I put the stat out there and then I let you kind of figure out what it means. Let you do what you want with it. It means obviously he's one of the hardest punchers, but you watch a Gervonta Davis fight, he gives up a lot of rounds off of, not because he's not better than his opponent, because he's not throwing enough punches. Like, he'll throw 10 punches in the first round against Barrios. He'll throw 15 punches in a round against Ryan Garcia or Leo Santa Cruz, but then eventually he'll bail himself out.
But Dan, how did all those fights end?
Knockout.
Knockout.
But what does it happen if he fights Shakur and the knockout doesn't come?
You got to think there's two different guys, right? There's the guys who never lose rounds, and there's the guys who knock everybody out. Shakur never loses rounds, right? Doesn't get out punched, doesn't get hit a lot, and then you got Gervonta, who loses rounds every single fight. And it's usually down when he knocks people out. Yeah. He gives up so many rounds, but doesn't care. He believes in his power. A la, like you mentioned before about Canelo and Gervonta kind of fighting the same. He was down against Kovalev. Bigger guy, big puncher, and he comes back to knock him out. There was no urgency in Canelo. He's like, I'm going to get this guy. Yeah, he's got a good jab. Yeah, he's long. Yeah, he's got power. Yeah, I got to be careful.
Yeah, he's drunk.
Yeah, he's got vodka in his system, but I'm going to close the distance and I'm going to get him.
Yeah. And he did, 11th round, 2019. That was awesome.
Great fight.
Yeah, so Shakur's back. It's July 6th, right in the middle of this crazy fight schedule. Newark. I don't know if I'll go. I kind of want to like go to the beach, but I could be talked into going to Newark.
You could go to both.
Yeah, could go to both.
Beach in the morning, fight at night. Newark. Cool. That's a cool day. Very cool day.
Newark at night. No comment. Let's head into our big fight preview. Vasily Lomachenko and George Kambosos are fighting in Perth, Australia. This is for the vacant IBF lightweight title. Two former champions, two brand names, two fighters who I question what their motivations are at this point. You have Lomachenko, who fell short of his ultimate goal of becoming undisputed champion when he lost to Devin Haney 1 year ago. Kambosos is living off of that Teofimo win, and man, is he making a very nice living doing so. Winner becomes a champion, is right in the mix at 135. Loser goes to the back of the line. I like the fight. I think it's not going to be a firefight. I expect Lomachenko to have a little bit left in the tank at age 36. Kambosos is always crafty. Fun fight. ESPN. We're all going to be watching. Haters are going to watch Lomachenko. There's still Lomachenko fans out there that still think he can do it at this level. Still think he beat Haney a year ago. Don't hate the fight. Not my top fight. I'll watch.
I'm gonna one up you, Dan. Loser of this fight leaves the elite. Leaves championship level. Loser of this fight leaves the championship level. That's Goodbye. What's really on the line with this fight. Goodbye. Kambosos loses here. He didn't win. I mean, he won maybe a round in 24 rounds against Devin Haney.
You're being generous.
Yeah. They're both victims of Devin Haney. Kambosos, I think, lost to Maxie Hughes. I was there. Most people agree with me. And yeah, Kambosos loses this fight. He never sees one of those big paychecks again. He never gets in with a big name guy unless he's just fodder. And Lomachenko loses, and it's like, all right, you're 36, and you know you lost to a two-time victim of Devin Haney. You know that was the guy that edged you. You're obviously diminished. We don't see Lomachenko anymore. I don't think we even see. I think Lomachenko retires. He loses this fight.
I mean, really he's talking about retirement, and you know when you bring up the
R-word. He's 36, dude.
You bring up the R-word while you're fighting?
Yeah, you're done.
You're done. You got 1 foot out the door.
Yeah, you're pretty much done. So that's really what this fight is about. How diminished is Lomachenko? How much is he going to bring to the table? How excited does he get for this kind of fight? But I think there's still a lot of fans for Lomachenko. I mean, he is the Matrix, man. Like he is wildly talented. Some of his performances are just sublime. Just watching them, the things he does, no one's ever done them. He had a lot of crossover appeal because of that. Roy Jones.
A long time ago, though.
He would do things, and you're like, what is that? That's a highlight for highlights for the history of the world. But also, I mean, he's a likable guy. He's got the Ukrainian thing. I don't know how many people really care about Ukraine anymore because of all the other global issues going on. But I think backers of Ukraine, I think backers of him, I think former fans or old people who were, you know, fans and didn't stop being fans. So there's going to be that. But then also there's the Australian market. You know, Kambosos is a commodity in Australia. You mentioned they're both brand names. I don't really agree. Lomachenko's a brand. I don't think Kambosos is.
Well, Kambosos is Kambosos made himself into a brand name. That win over Teofimo, I mean, a brand name in terms of boxing fans. No brand names in terms of, there's like one or two fighters out there in boxing that.
Loma's a brand. Loma has a brand name. He's got. When I think of a brand name, I think of someone who is like their own entity that people
right.
are going to be
I
like.
I meant a boxing brand name.
Okay, but I got you.
Lomachenko kind of crossed over for a while, going back to what you said, like when he was making fools quit on their stool. That was HBO behind him. Then
Nomachenko.
HBO. He had HBO behind him. And then he had, when Top Rank went to ESPN, had ESPN behind him. So he benefited from that. It's just interesting with Lomachenko because he's such a polarizing figure now at this stage in his career. Potentially beat Devin Haney a year ago. Many people have Lomachenko winning that fight. Was built up, marketed by HBO and ESPN, rightfully so, because I think he was really, really good. But there's others that are just point to the fact that he's a little overrated, or they point to the fact that even as of today, coming off of a loss to Devin Haney, hasn't fought in a year, yet is in another title shot with the IBF. It's just kind of how boxing works. You need these polarizing figures. Lomachenko is definitely a polarizing figure. I still think he's damn good, because it's like, how do we properly rate him? Yeah, he's 36. I pulled up the numbers. His last five fights are very much in line with his career numbers, and his career numbers are elite. I'm talking about elite of the elite. Like, he was the top plus-minus fighter. He was the only guy since Floyd Mayweather to have a plus 20 or higher plus-minus. That's hit and don't get hit. Like, he had top five power connect. He had top five jab. He had top five defense. top five everything. So I pulled up the numbers to see over the last five fights. Okay, so that's that is the last five fights for him. Where is it? I have it here. Haney, Jermaine Ortiz, Comey, Nakatani, Teofimo. He's only fought five times since 2020. But those are some pretty nice fights. Haney, Jermaine Ortiz took Teofimo to the edge. Comey, Nakatani, Teofimo. His numbers during that stretch are the same as his numbers during his heyday. So
that's wild.
He's not really like falling off. He's just like kind of fell off in like maybe the minds of boxing fans. He's been around for so long. He's now 36. You know, those tough every big fight he's in, he's lost Teofimo and to Haney, or when he stepped up in those fights, even though they were very, very close. Long story short, it's like he still got it. But there's a lot of people out there that are like, man, this guy gets like the benefit of the doubt. I still think he's fun to watch. Do I think he could reach his goal of being undisputed? No, because there's just so many politics and he's just running out of time.
Yeah. All right. So let me break down those last five fights that you brought up. The Teofimo Lopez fight, great fight. I think Teofimo was the only guy who solidly beat Lomachenko. I was there in the room that night, and Tio looked phenomenal, super powerful. But Lomachenko says he had a shoulder injury, which, listen, I always believe fighters, but I kind of took it with a grain of salt. I'm like, hey, Teofimo looked great. Then he gets a shoulder surgery, comes back, and he fights Nakatani, who gave Teofimo hell. Dominates him. Mm. KOs him. Looked awesome. I mean, perfecto performance. Then he fights Richard Comey, someone I know really well. Could have stopped Richard at any time during that fight. Respected him too much. Let him live. Allowed him to
didn't
to
he
get
like
to
literally
the
like didn't he like literally like
literally pull, looked pull at the back? Corner and was like stop the fight. That was weird. But you know, respectful nonetheless, kind of a strange thing to do in the boxing world, especially at this level. But regardless, looked fantastic in a fight with a very, very dangerous guy. Jermaine Ortiz. In hindsight, that was a really good win, especially as an aging guy had to pull it out at the end and fight his butt off for the last four rounds, which he did. To your point, Dan, that he hasn't skipped a beat. He's still putting up the same numbers. He still can dig deep at the in the advanced age. Then he fights Devin Haney, another fight that I was in the room for, and I scored a draw that night. I thought they both looked amazing. Vasily looked great. He looked really, really good in that fight. Very, very smart, very tactical, very strong, great endurance, everything. So, yeah, to your point, I don't really think he is slipping the way that you would expect someone at 36 years of age. It's very impressive for him to be so diligent in performing the way that he's performing. And looking at those five fights, and yeah, he's 3-2 in those five fights, which is crazy to think about. But who he fought, how close the fights were, and in hindsight, looking at the opponents and what they've done since, I think is really important.
Yeah, well, beautifully said. And it's hard to gauge it with him because he's such a polarizing guy. But you're right. I mean, and in these five fights too, taking years off in between them, with the whole Ukraine thing or just taking years off from wear and tear, it's impressive. And he's taking another year off here. That Haney fight was a year ago, which is crazy. Yep. Like, time is freaking flying by. But if you take a look at the lightweight picture, this fight kicks off a slew of lightweight title fights in the next few weeks. WBC is Shakur, and he's fighting July 6th, like we just talked about. The IBF is vacant. That's on the line in this fight. WBO, Navarrete, is fighting May 18th, which is in 10 days, versus Berenchik. And then you have Tank Davis, who's the WBA champion, who had to put an asterisk next because he doesn't care about belts. He got that WBA belt not in the ring. He's the wild card of the division. Which brings you to my next point. Lomachenko has been on the record saying that his ultimate goal in his professional career is to become undisputed. He tried to do it in multiple weight classes. He tried to do it against Haney and came up just short. That's why he was weeping in the locker room. Can Lomachenko become undisputed at 135 pounds? He would have to beat Shakur. He would have to beat Navarrete. He would have to possibly beat Tank Davis. Those are hard fights. And that is going through a political minefield of boxing to get to undisputed.
Short answer, no. For everything you just said. Because not only don't think politically they can make that route happen or be able to occur, I don't think he beat some of those guys. So at this stage, and depending on when those fights happen, because this is the thing about an aging fighter. When you're an aging fighter, you hit your peak and you're over, you know, it sounds terrible when you say over the hill, but when your peak is so high, you can be 80% and still beat top guys in the world. You can be 75% when you're Lomachenko and still beat top guys. But when does 59% hit? Mm. And that's not enough anymore, because that's what happens overnight. And yeah, it's tough to keep going back to the well. And how many times can Lomachenko go back to the well? It looked like after the Haney fight, that loss kind of broke him, and that post fight visage that we saw, you know, it was one of those things. Just like, man, I gave my all tonight, and I still didn't get it. Mm. He thought it was taken from him. There's a great argument for that, but man, it's hard to keep coming back. It's hard to keep going back there. So this can be debilitating, not only obviously physically as you age, but also mentally and psychologically, being like, even when I give my all, they rob me or they take it from me. So that can take a lot out of a fighter.
I was actually surprised that he's still fighting. This is a big payday.
I thought that was a done one. That was done at the Haney.
Right. This is a big payday. It's a big fight in Australia. Crazy that Kambosos is still commanding these crowds, is still commanding these fights. We'll get to Kambosos now. His last five. He's got the Maxi Hughes majority decision win that I also thought he lost. The Devin Haney 24 rounds, which he lost basically every single round. The Teofimo win, which as we get further and further away from it, we realized, was that an aberration? Was that a bad night for Teofimo? That's just one of those fights that's going to go down in history because so much went down after it. And it was just that one night where it's a beauty of the sport of boxing, where you have one night can change your life forever. One performance can change your life forever. For Kambosos, it made him a very wealthy man to the point where he's still fighting for millions of dollars in 2024 against Lomachenko. For Teofimo, it freaking sent him spiraling. And now he's finally built himself back up with an asterisk there too, because he has his demons and people point to that fight. Interesting. I think Kambosos has gotten so much out of his skill set, so much out of his talent. The Lee Selby win was before that, and that was like a nip and tuck affair to get the Teofimo win.
So was Mickey Bay. 37-year-old, four and a half year off Mickey Bay. I called that fight, and I was like, I came down to literally the knockdown scored in the last round by Kambosos. Otherwise, it was a draw.
Yeah.
So I know you're the numbers guy, but I'm going to be the numbers guy right now. Let's look at his last bunch of fights. Maxi Hughes, majority decision. Count up how many rounds he actually won in that fight. Devin Haney, UD loss. Count up how many rounds they won that fight. Devin Haney, UD loss. Count up how many rounds he won that fight. Teofimo Lopez, split decision. Count up how many rounds he won that fight. Lee Selby, split decision. Count up how many rounds he won that fight. Mickey Bay, split decision. Count up how many rounds this guy has won and lost in his last six fights. You're the numbers guy. Please do that for me. We'll get back to that, and we'll see how this guy has gotten to this point.
Anyone, you don't have to be a copybox guy to know that he's probably lost 70% of the rounds of his last five fights.
Wild.
Insane. Wild. Literally insane. Like, Lou DiBella, who's his promoter, deserves promoter of the year forever. They should name a freaking award after him. Peter Kahn, I don't know if he's part of his team anymore. He was part of it for a lot of this. Deserves all the accolades. I mean, he's a cool dude, Kambosos. I like his whole demeanor.
I like him too. He's Art a great of War. Guy.
I think he's hilarious. We've interacted on Twitter, and he's just a good sport. He'll talk shit when he has to. Like, awesome performance against Teofimo, but damn, man, he is really milking this, and I don't think he's going to win.
What else are you going to do? But also, how heavy-handed is the fate going to be on you if you literally look at the numbers? It's like, this guy's probably lost more rounds than he's won in his last six fights.
It's crazy. The sport, it's more to show you that this is a business, not a sport. It's a business. He has Australian fans still. Two of those fights with Haney were in Australia. This one is in Australia. It's wild. But as for the actual fight, the odds, according to DraftKings, minus 700. Lomachenko is a very, very big favorite in this fight. The over-under is 10.5. Under 10.5 is plus 265. No value there. This one's going the distance, I think. Lomachenko by decision, minus 175. Decent value there. Lomachenko by KO. He hasn't scored a KO since the Nakatani fights, plus 240. Interesting fight to bet on. You might have to do a parlay. I have to think about it a little more, but those are the odds according to DraftKings. In terms of what the fight's going to be like, you're looking at, Lomachenko doesn't throw a lot of punches. He throws like 45 punches around. Kambosos throws even less. Kambosos is going to want to slow this fight down. Lomachenko is going to look for spots. He's getting up there in age, like we talked about. Can still land with precision. Doesn't exactly have that power. Will be a fun fight. It's going to be a 12-round fight. It's going to be a chess match, And I just think Lomachenko has a little bit more left, has more skills, hasn't eroded that much. Maybe that 60%, somewhere maybe a little bit higher than that, what's left for Lomachenko. For Kambosos, I don't think there's much left in the tank at all. 30 years old, but it's different with him as 30-year-old. It's so much money and just has been exposed. I hate that word in boxing, but he's been exposed the last couple of fights. Yeah. I like Lomachenko to win a decision. Don't think he drops him. I'm sure you're on the same page.
Yeah, I think we're seeing 12 rounds. I think that, listen, Lomachenko at 135 just is not the same guy. I mean, he's the undersized man. And not that Kambosos is a big 35-pounder by any means of the stretch, but he's bigger than Lomachenko. And I think Lomachenko's lack of knockouts recently has more to do with the weight class and the size of these guys rather than, you know, his diminished ability, because obviously his numbers don't show that. He's still been able to hurt everybody, even at these weight classes. He's just not finishing them like he used to. He's not completely matrixing them and cutting angles and making them look silly and making them quit. But he was I just reminded myself, he never really was a knockout guy. He knocked out a few guys. Krolla is actually on campus at, speaking of a guy who got knocked out by Lomachenko pretty badly. For the most part, Lomachenko just was getting guys to quit because he was just outclassing them and they had no answers. So he's never really been that kind of puncher who really ices guys. And at 35, he just doesn't have the size to do it. So yeah, I do see this as a 12 rounder. I do see Lomachenko going out there and dominating at times. But yeah, I got Lomachenko by decision.
Yeah,
Listen, Kambosos is always fun. He's explosive. He's aggressive. He's tenacious. That's always the word I use for Kambosos. Yes. Tenacious. Very yes. Tenacious.
I know we're kind of like, this is what we do on this show. We don't hold back. Like, he lost a lot of his rank. I mean, come on. You're a boxing fan. You know this. He's still tenacious.
We're not bad mouthing Kambosos by any means. We're giving the truth.
That might be the play. Like, if you are thrown down on this fight, if you think Lomachenko's past it mentally, physically.
Right.
Yeah. And you think Kambosos, this is his last hurrah. We all love money. We all want more of it. So if Kambosos wins, this is an IBF title fight. Like I just mentioned those champions. These are some big-time unification fights. Like Shakur, I didn't even bring up William Zepeda, Navarrete, Tank Davis. Like, come on. Like, if Kambosos wins this fight, he's an IBF world champion. He's making another $5 to $7 million. There's a lot on the line here in terms of, like,
motivation. And listen, if anybody can do it from what we've been talking about, apparently it's this guy. He pulls these fights out, you know, whether you agree against him or not. But he
does.
You know,
like,
no, he's he got does. Something. He's got something.
He could have that
the
one
judges,
last.
The judges like his style.
They do. So that's interesting. That's what I would maybe throw down on is Kambosos. Throw some money on Kambosos.
Bro, I Father Time is undefeated. When we get these older guys, like especially if the line is wide, throwing on Kambosos is not a bad idea at all. At all.
I'm looking at it right now.
You can get old overnight.
Plus 750.
Yeah, man, that's not a bad bet, dude. Not a bad bet.
Plus throw some.
You throw $100 on that? Come on.
Yeah, throw whatever you can. Bet responsibly. Bet with your head, not over it. And do it with the DraftKings sportsbook. This has never happened in the history of the
show. Dan said that, not me.
This has never happened in the history of the show. Like, we don't have time for the mailbag, or this would be a two-hour episode. We're going to move the mailbag to Monday's episode. We have a lot of good questions. We can get even more. So we'll do the mailbag on Monday. We got a little carried away, but still a great show talking about some of the things that are going on in the sport. Appreciate everyone who sent us questions. We had a lot of questions coming from YouTube, coming from Twitter. Go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube page, Inside Boxing Live. We've seen a nice little rise in subscribers, having a nice little run here on YouTube as well. One of the hardest things to build is this YouTube subscription base. So that's free. The show is always going to be free on YouTube, and it's brought to you by PPV.com. Go ahead. And our next big fight for PPV.com is Fury versus Usyk, which is next week. We're going to be in the live chat for that. We're not going to be in Saudi Arabia. I'm going to be in the CompuBox offices.
Thank God.
One. Right? I'm not ready to go to Saudi.
No, me either.
I'll go. Like I
Well, listen, we will go at some point. I want to go to Tokyo. We need to figure that out.
That's my main. I've never been to the UK.
Really?
Never. That's
Wembley.
Like,
I want to go. I've never been to Wembley. I have been to the UK, but Wembley.
Here's a dream here that's very, very viable. Is Turkey, Al-Ashik, is looking to put Anthony Joshua versus the winner of Dubois-Hergovic, and he wants to do it either at Wembley or one of those stadiums in the UK in September.
I like it.
If that's a pay-per-view, PPB.com is carrying it. We will be there.
Let's go.
Or we find a way there somehow. We find a sponsor to hop on board if they want some of these precious, precious views.
Sponsors, hit the DMs. Doing big yes. things.
Great show, Chris. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy Pro Box. Enjoy the fights on Saturday night. Keep it locked to everything Inside Boxing Live. Socials, Twitter, Bumble, Hinge, you name it. We're doing it. We'll see you next time. Remember, protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. DMs are open. Goodbye.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.